Welcome to South Harmony. Welcome to South Harmony. Hey, welcome to South Harmony. We glad you here today. Another AMA. Ask me anything. Super chat is cool if you wanna pay to play. Like and subscribe, that's what we really appreciate. Let me introduce you to the tear down king. Mike McNutty, ask your questions, he'll answer anything. ATM, you know Adam, put them graphics on the screen. Glad you tapped in now, stay tapped in for the team. Hey, everything is posted. Go follow the socials. South Harmony FF tag us if we get noticed. Welcome to South Harmony, we glad you here today. Welcome to South Harmony, we glad you here today. Another AMA. Welcome to South Harmony, we glad you here today.
Hey, better late than never. We're here, baby. We are here. Fashionably late, Michael. What do you got?
You forgot to feed the hamsters, man.
Man, these hamsters were upset. I haven't seen them this upset since the D-Bro Rookie Fever episode, man, honestly.
Oh, what'd you do to it?
I will say, I'm gonna ask, by the way, not Xbox in our Discord. I think he just pays now to kind of throw slander at me, and I kind of enjoy that. But that's all fine and right. Well, as long as when I pay for his service, Spectrum, I'm getting my shit back. Like, it's twice on Wednesday, like right as either during AMA or right before. What the hell? Xbox?
Spectrum, man.
I honestly think that Xbox could be up to this, for the record. All right?
Could be.
Also, I think you had a good comment here. I'm going to get to a bunch of comments, but who was it? Oh, no, it wasn't you. It was Dr. B. Harris with a really good one here. Listen, the capacity without the internet is absolutely worthless, but what's going on with you, Michael? How are we doing today, man? We got DB's been in here probably for about 2 hours.
He has been. That's the definition of ride or die right there, man.
What do you got? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Actually, it was while you were scrambling to figure out your hamster situation.
Yeah.
I got to tap in with our guys, Matt and Felix, over at Camp Scanton.
Love it. How was that?
Oh, Felix is out there streaming off a fucking iPhone, so, I mean, jeez. All things considered.
I should have just went. We should have just went off of a, you know, hotspot. Damn. What was I doing?
I don't know. He's out there. He's doing it.
Good for him, man. Good for him. Damn it.
They're doing well, other than when Felix starts getting into his Iowa State love.
Like, my guy was, what a day for you to tell me that.
Feel targeted.
When that picture was dropped in our Team Savage channel, I don't know why in that one specifically, but that was just.
I don't know either why that one, but yeah.
That picture is absolutely insane. If you know, you know.
Every Iowa State fan ever.
19 viewers, everyone. 4 likes. Let's get the likes up. By the way, Mike, what did you think of the thumbnail? I mean, for me at this point, it seems like a no-brainer that it's just landing spots, the only thing that separates the three receivers at the top. But I think for some people, that's not the case. And I kind of want to discuss, you know, where it we're at be. And why. Yeah.
I'd like to listen in. I'll give a shout-out to J.J. Zacharyson's pod. Was listening to him and Matt Harmon chopping it up. Two goats.
Man, that is a goated series. That's a goated episode, right. Man.
Talking about wide receivers, and you know, I'm like lockstep with Matt Harmon on this. Like I'm like this motherfucker's spitting.
This motherfucker so, don't miss.
No, he gave a lot of his comps and like his personal ranks, and you know he's got a Dunzea too. Like and people,
ooh.
I got a Dunzea too. So I was like, hey, what's up? I'm like Marv is just a little bit better than a Dunzea than neighbors. They're all three great, though. And I think in reality, unless you're just a hater or you got take lock, like, come on. I get it for some people. It's the early declare thing. It's the, you know, coming out as a junior versus a senior, that bullshit. But, you know, in the year of our Lord 2024 with COVID and NIL and transfer rules, I'm pretty much just discounting that early declare shit. Like, it's nice, cool, but it really don't mean shit to me too much anymore. Adunze's that fucking dude, too. I love the comps, too, that he's throwing out, the high and the lows. Pretty awesome. You know, like, he's throwing out A.J. Green as the top, as like one of the top comps for Marvin Harrison.
I love that comp. And like if people are saying that's, like, I saw some people saying, like, oh, that's disrespect. Like, do you forget what prime A.J. Green was? That man was outrageous.
He went above Julio Jones in the draft, people.
I mean, for a reason. I just feel like let's stop disrespecting AJ Green because we want to get all excited about dynasty people, right?
His floor comp for Marv was Mike Evans, which people will look at and go, ugh. But he also explained, too, it's not purely height and weight, but
right.
Mike Evans, just that guy who wins routes, better separator than you think, good in for contested sure. catch situations, can get down the field. So,
Mike Evans, you know, by the way, let's take a look at how many 1,000 yards seasons in a row, still doing it every year.
You got to a Dunze, and like his comp is Davante Adams at the ceiling. And talk about just, oh, my God.
I mean,
sign me up.
As long as we don't have to wait as long as we did for Adams, Mike, that's a hell of a ceiling, buddy.
Right. Yeah. As long as he doesn't have that 2-year pause.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think the big thing for me, Mike, is the Marvin Harrison versus the two on the thumbnail is the big thing for me, right? Like, some people are really, really bullish on Marv being different than the other two. I lean him. I got him one. But, Mike, it's a tier for me. So if you told me that Marv ended up in a bad situation and those other two guys ended up in better situations, I'll move the needle for them. That's kind of the whole point of landing spot discussion here. By the way, we got Matt Dennis with a super chat. D-Walk says, we ready, let's go. But this super chat here.
What's up? Thanks, D-Walk.
He needs a new modem. That is true. Here's the thing. I have a new modem. I still have Spectrum is the problem. So, but... appreciate you being worried about us. Yeah, you can. We'll meet you in the detention hall in August. I promise.
Got you. I'll drink to that, Matt.
By the way, I was in Walmart getting the second modem because the one from Best Buy was faulty. Summer edition, Mike. We're here.
Nice.
You know, yeah.
Nice.
Grabbed a whole bunch of them.
Matt's gonna hop on with us on the draft stream while you're gone on Thursday night.
Maddie, we'll see if he's ready, man. It's a big responsibility for Matt.
Listen, I don't have to worry about Matt Dennis super chatting me to alcoholism. So
that's kind of disappointing, actually.
4D chess play.
Yeah.
It's a 4D chess.
I feel about it. By the way, Soggy Danger says waiting for Geek Squad. They would have been highly useful. They were closed after they sold me a terrible modem. What do you think about this super chat, though?
The end of the day with the wide receivers, though. Landing spot. Draft capital.
Would you be willing to put Malik at one if he was definitely the best draft capital and landing spot?
Yeah, there's a scenario that can definitely happen. I'm not going to say it can't.
All right, let's discuss. Let's give some hypotheticals. Let's put some names in draft capital to this, and let's just see where you would put him. All right, I think this is a better exercise. Let's pull up Keep Trade Cut now that the internet works. It's amazing. Look at this.
There you go.
All right, Mike. So rookies at receiver. Would you put? Let's say Marv goes 9 to Chicago. That's not going to happen. Let's say they. What do you think the latest he could go? 5, 6?
The most likely scenario, the first one that came to my head, is he goes 3 to New England. England doesn't address the quarterback situation in the draft.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right, let's just play along with what this hypothetical is. Okay, so
right.
Then who would go second?
So for neighbors to be number one, a couple situations there that could happen. 5 to the Chargers.
Neighbors 5 to the Chargers, okay.
Even though it's a low-volume passing offense and I have my reservations about Herbert as an elite quarterback for this season, that's still the only weapon they would have. So,
right.
Like, he's still going to thrive.
For sure. I mean, and you're looking at even if they only throw the ball, Mike, let's say on the low end. Let's say they throw 500 attempts. I mean, you give me 500 attempts that often. You tell me he still couldn't get 150 of them? Like, he definitely could. Yep. So, I'm with you.
I don't hate the Giants landing spot as much as some people. Because they literally have nobody else either.
I'm with you on that. I don't think it's a great landing spot, but I like it.
Dimes is competent enough to push the ball down the field to a receiver. It's not like he's a shitty Bo Nix and it's only going to be checkdowns. And you're looking at like a Jalen Waddle, 107, 110 catch, whatever the fuck he had his rookie year, where it was like all slants and crossers. Right,
right, right.
There's going to be enough deep shots and like neighbors would still thrive and eat even in that system with Dable. So, I could make that case. The New England one is the one that's worrisome because I'm not like a big Jacoby Brissett fan. Like, I think he's fine, but there's a reason he's also been a career backup in Bailey Zappi's ass. So,
I mean, that's fair. All right, let me throw some out.
Talking minute, like, tiebreakers.
Let's throw some out.
Push them over.
Marv goes 3 to New England. Neighbors goes 5 to the Chargers. And let's say 9 is where Rome goes to Chicago. Where do you rank them in that scenario?
Neighbors, Marv, Rome.
Okay. Let's say, Mike, that it is, again, Marv goes to New England. Now, let's say that Arizona gets Marv, gets Neighbors. And now let's say Rome goes to the Chargers. Where are you at here?
Neighbors, Adunze, Marv.
Yeah, they go 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, that's how I'd rank up Neighbors, Adunze.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, you go Neighbors going to Arizona 1. You go
number one. Yep.
Rome 2 and Marv 3.
Yep.
And I think that's where people might fight you, but I'm with you. I would agree.
Flip-flop them. Flip-flop Neighbors and Adunze, and it would be Adunze, Neighbors, Marv.
Correct. Yeah. Now, if Rome went 4 and Neighbors went
Arizona
5, I would...
Arizona would be my prime spot. Chargers next. Giants, sneaky. Bears, and probably like next best in that top 10 as far as realistic teams to take a wide receiver.
Right.
New England, worst.
Now, let me ask you about some teams later on. How about...
Sure.
Where do you feel about Atlanta?
I would actually get on board with the Atlanta. We saw Kirk be able to support TJ Hockenson, Jordan Addison, and Justin Jefferson. So I don't think that's a bad spot at all.
Yeah, I think that
tough to fucking double cover one of these rookie.
No, you
wide
won't
receivers
be able.
Coming in with Drake London and Kyle Pitts already there, and Bijan coming out of the backfield. So no,
you won't be able to do that. I don't think it's a bad one, but I do think probably. There is a limited ceiling for somebody of the three reality, right? Now, I'm not going to knock it huge, but I'm still okay
I would say that would probably be the – it's still a good spot, but it would probably be the worst spot for a guy like Adunze who wins more like how Drake London wins, right?
Correct.
And does a lot of some of the similar things. Marv, possibly. It would be a prime spot for Malik Neighbors, though, right? Because he does something that – Drake London can't do, which is just not can't do, but doesn't super excel at, which is yards after the catch and that home run hitting ability.
How do you feel about the Jets landing spot? I've seen some mocks where people get like, Mike, that's one of those where I do the same face that you do. Like, I don't, why are we doing this,
I'm
man?
Okay.
No. Rodgers at maybe his last year or two, throwing to, he's going to support all these guys?
You tell me the last time, well, one. When they had him, but when's the last time like Rodgers and a rookie got on the same page early enough where it mattered?
Yeah, who? You tell me.
Randall Cobb, out of the slot. that was way back in yesteryear.
I think those are the ones that are realistic, unless somebody trades up, Mike. And I think that these receivers are good enough that someone could trade into the top 10. I don't think someone's trading into the top 5 for a receiver. That's just going to cost way too much, but. Maybe if one of them still hanging around at 9 and Chicago's like, listen, we'll trade back. You could see someone trade up into 9. I could see that happening. But the realistic ones without a trade up, I think, of those, I would put New England at the worst of them. I like the draft capital, but I hate the landing spot.
I only hate it if they don't do anything to address quarterback, right? Something in the second round, even if it is Bo Nix.
Oh.
But Bo Nix, Michael Penix. Something, man. I have a tough time seeing them use a top pick on a wide receiver to just go like, this is our quarterback room that we're rolling with now. Like, fuck. Gross.
It's like that
mock draft on Monday I did. If the Chargers traded away Herbert to the Vikings and then didn't draft a fucking quarterback to replace him, it's like, whoever goes there to the Chargers now has Easton Stick? Fuck me. This is terrible.
With you. I'd say, first of all, Bindles, that no, what? I don't even understand why we. The white face mask. I mean, come on, stop it.
New.
I mean, the Jets jerseys are more new than those Browns updated face masks. But what are we gonna do?
I can get behind what Tripp Crown was saying, right? Marv to the Cards.
Neighbors oh, Marv to the Cards is an easy one, in my opinion, right?
So this is where I would probably go Marv. Number one,
clear, for sure,
no question. I would actually go Rome at? With the Jags. Rome to the Jags and then neighbors to the Giants. I like the Jags landing spot a little bit more.
Okay, but where can I tell you that while I agree with that, I need to know what the draft capital is.
So what are they picking, 17?
Yeah,
so if they stay pat at 17.
If Rome falls to 17, Mike, I can't do that because neighbors went at 6.
You still go neighbors, right?
Okay. The draft capital That's will fair. Change it for me. Yep. If it's in the top 10, I'll definitely move it around based on landing spot. But you fall this far, you know, outside the top 15, I think it's a different conversation for me.
Fuck Pillow. Marv to the Pats. Neighbors to the Giants. Buffalo trades up to grab Rome Dudze.
Well, I mean, Rome's going crazy. You give me Buffalo. Sheesh.
Here's the real tough one. Buffalo trades up to grab either Neighbors or Dunze, and Marv goes to the Cardinals. Now what the fuck do you do? Are we back at square rudd where you just go, yeah, these were my pre-draft ranks. This is how I'm rolling.
Okay. Trip Crown says it. Now, if the Jags have traded up to 8, Mike, I'd put Rome ahead of Neighbors there.
Top 10 pick? Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's what I wanted to say, Mike. It's a landing spot.
Late teens is a little bit different.
Right. Landing spot would be the tiebreaker when the draft capital's all inside the top 10, right? You start getting outside of that, and draft capital still speaks, I think, at the receiver position for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I see Robert Holland in there. Dunze giving off Traylon vibes. I'm good on that, man. That's a hard stop. Not even close.
Well, the only thing about that was – Traylon had multiple things that did not – I mean, the asthma to me was kind of silly, but, I mean, if you can't run, you can't run. Now, the big thing to me ahead of time was that the combine wasn't what I was really hoping for. Adunze was the one of the three that went out to the combine, and he absolutely destroyed it. So, like, Adunze's checking Traylon. Going higher as far as the way I'm looking at him in trajectory.
Traylon had one big red flag. Red flag. Now – Marv, Neighbors, Dunze don't have these at all. Now, the Traylon's red flag was the fact that he had so much slot usage and not a lot of outside work in the SEC. And the workaround for it was if they bring him in the NFL in the rookie year and they bring him along as this big slot and then work on his skill to win outside, right? Like work on it. So similar to kind of CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb did a lot of stuff in the slot in the college.
Ton of it, yeah.
But like you saw skills that could translate to him working on the outside, right? Kind of the same thing with Traylon, except for when Dallas brought CD in, they didn't go, all right, you're the fucking X and that's the only spot you're going to be. Tennessee, on the other hand, that's exactly what they did with Traylon and refused to use him or bring him along slowly in the slot and then move his ass outside once he learned how to do it. And that's where we're still at with Traylon. He still hasn't shown it. So you can't say that about Adunze, you can't say it about Neighbors, and you definitely can't say it about Marv. These guys make their fucking hay on the outside already in college. And when you look at it, if you get to the NFL and now you get creative with them and you do get those matchups in the slot if you move them inside, oh baby. Now, it's hard to go the other way. Like, you can do it. We've seen guys do it, but it's up to the coaching staff and the development to do it. And quite frankly, they fucking failed Traylon. Now, something to be a little bit more aware of when we're evaluating prospects, but that was the big thing for me with Traylon, like what the difference was. Garrett Wilson didn't really have that. He was an outside guy. Chris Olave didn't have that. He was an outside guy. Drake London didn't have that. He was an outside guy. So to make that like one-for-one comp, I'm not about that. Pass. Like, there's no fucking realm when those two are even close to the same.
Yeah. I mean, the thing for me, though, Mike, was like Traylon with that. That's why I wanted to talk. Traylon, I think, is a good example of what I'm talking about with one, the draft capital didn't check out to the elite part, right? He fell to 18. That's a good example with the Jags for me. Like, that happened after, Mike. The combine was, I'm thinking this is a guy that's just going to break the combine. He did not do that really at all. He was a 4.55. He, I think, was like his three cone was, what was his three cone here? 7.28. Like, he didn't actually make me believe that he was this super athlete that's going to be able to kind of exceed expectations when you're looking at possibly coming from the slot into the outside and be right. just that alpha dude. So, Mike, the difference is Rome is – go look at Rome on Player Profile if you don't believe me. The dude's combine was super electric. Athlete. He checked everything. He is a pure prospect. I don't think people realize that. I really don't think they understand that, Mike. He is one of the best prospects we've seen in the last 5 years. That's not even crazy to say at all.
No, I think we did this on AMA, or it came up months ago. But we were talking about Odunze, and hypothetically, if he was in different draft classes, like where he'd rank. And he's in the wide receiver one conversation in almost every single class.
You know, now when you go over to Player Profiler, Mike, I didn't know this at the time, but I think this is a really good way to say this, all right? Mike, they do best comparable players on playerprofile.com. Do you know who the best comparable player is for Rome? Have you seen it?
Yeah, I monitored that one. Justin Jefferson's pretty good, man.
A little different than Treylon, my personal opinion, but
yeah, polar opposites.
Anyway,
he's smooth as fuck, man. He's just smooth.
I think Rome in the right situation could be special. And also, we talk Justin Jefferson, Mike. This guy, Justin Jefferson, 6'1", 200. I don't think people understand that he's not just smooth. He's big. 6'3", 212. Makes him plus size in the NFL at the receiver position, too, nowadays.
Yeah. It's interesting to see with him, too. No matter how you stack him up analytically, et cetera, I mean, JJ does a great job with his new breakout score metric, not just breakout age, which
right.
I'm with him, man. That was always – it always felt a little too linear, right? Like, just because you didn't hit – you were off by one fucking yard, now you don't get credit for being a breakout. Like, that seems stupid. It really did.
Now, Robert, I'm not saying he's Justin Jefferson. My point is – they're using that comparison. I'm not telling you he's going to be Justin Jefferson. That's insane to say anyone's going to be Justin Jefferson. But I think as a prospect, he compares closer to the elite prospects than he does a guy like Treylon.
Much. I didn't know that was actually a question.
No, I mean, Mike, I just think that Rome doesn't quite – I don't think people understand or they don't quite view Rome and Malik – in the same breath as Marvin Harrison Jr. That's kind of why I made the thumbnail the way I did. I didn't put Marv on there. I just put landing spots.
I think there's a lot more people that would put Malik in there, and I do understand like the Rome thing, but for me it always just feels like it's the senior versus junior debate.
Is it a Pac-12 thing?
Part of it is Pac-12. I mean, yeah. Nobody's staying up till fucking, what is it for you on the East Coast, Eastern time zone, 11 p.m. to watch some of these fucking games?
10 to 11 o'clock starters, you know? I think also the level of competition on the defense, right?
You watch the primetime game and then you're fucking hammered and you go to bed.
Right. It's not the big.
How that goes.
It's also not the Big Ten or definitely not the SEC as far as the defensive side of the ball goes. Big Ten, you have a wide range of these teams, right? The Pac-12 on defense is all kind of mid, right?
Even though they went undefeated and went to the national championship, nobody like gives them the credit for it. I don't know, man. I don't know what else people really needed to see. Like, Rome was on a heater. One, he had a great season. Absolutely great, top to bottom. Then he gets the primetime coverage in the college football playoff game and absolutely just fucking dominates Texas.
Yeah.
Like, they put on a fucking show. And then he comes out at the combine with the other two guys not doing anything, not even measuring in. Measures in great and then comes in and athletic testing, like, blows the fucking doors off the place.
Yeah. I mean, and listen, Robert, you don't have to. I'm saying for me that for us, that's the way we view him. I think that Rome and Malik Nabers, if they got good landing spots and draft capital, Mike, could end up being values because of, you know, so much people being partial to Marvin Harrison Jr. But let's not beat a dead horse, as they say. By the way, Zach is here. AMA, baby. I didn't even know. I was worried about Zach, to be frank with you guys. All right, let's get into questions, Mike. Let's get into questions. Anything else you wanted to say on that matter before we do?
No. I just think this class kind of shook out pretty easy. Like, I got three elite guys at the top, and then I got the next tier, which it feels like the next two guys are in a tier, but really it feels like Brian Thomas is separating himself, like, just if he's not already in a lot of people's minds, like, as the clear four. And then it feels like it kind of starts to fall into everybody else. Like, I have some favorites in there, but top to bottom, this this wide receiver draft class is pretty fucking good.
It's pretty, yeah, no, I,
and
I,
especially just considering, like, Keon Coleman in just about any normal dynasty class we've seen would probably be in consideration somewhere around 3-4, right? 5. And we wouldn't nitpick his game as much as it. But when everybody else is so fucking good and this class is so deep, all of a sudden he winds up at 10, right? And people right. are like, I got a lot of questions about him. But think about it in a rookie draft. Like, this is a dude you're probably drafting in the mid to late second round of your rookie drafts. And at that cost, it's like, fuck it.
Right.
Feels good because he's probably going to be a second round NFL draft pick at the end of the day. And this For is sure. a dude you're going to get at the fucking 207.
Yep. Big time.
Oh, it's Keon Coleman. Like, it feels gross, but then you realize it's a 207. You're like, in any other fucking class, this is a steal.
I mean, I'll say, Mike, I've definitely cooled on Keon some since seeing, like, reception perception. But at the same time, Mike, the reason I haven't cooled completely is because to what you just said. Like, the earliest I took him in pre-NFL drafts was 205. Like,
it's a mid-round pick.
A mid second to me, I'm already kind of expecting that I'm going to miss. So give me Keon. Yeah. If I miss, yeah. I miss. But I agree with you, though, Mike. I have those guys in tier one, those three we talked about, and then I have Brian Thomas in tier three, and then there's a big list of guys in tier four. So anyway, I think that this class is – checking a lot of the boxes. We'll see what the draft capital landing spots are.
Chef's kiss, however you want to describe it.
Now, David has a question for us, Mike. 12 team, PPR, Superflex, start nine. Help! Burrow, Baker. Oh, yeah. Man, there was a time, Mike, when Baker was a Brown early, and you had Burrow and Baker, you're like, man, I got two really nice quarterbacks.
I got the best. Baker was up there, boy.
Yeah, RIP. RBs, none. Actually, Baker had a good resurgence in Tampa, though. No running backs. Alave and Hollywood. I have the 101 and the 103. I have 325 first and 3 seconds. Would you take Caleb and Neighbors or Marvin Harrison Jr. and then Daniels? What should I do to compete in 2025? Okay, 101 and 103 with these quarterbacks, like, I'm still probably taking Caleb because you don't have a secure number two, I don't think, in Baker. Caleb or Jaden Daniels, whatever your pick is there, whoever you prefer. And then, like, at 103, it's pretty easy for me. I'm taking whatever's left at receiver, personally, because I'll let Baker be my quarterback three. I'll have Burrow, and I'll have a elite quarterback as well in either Caleb or Daniels. And, Mike, you only have Alave here. I really feel like unless you think you can quarterback hoard and lean into that, you got to start addressing this room. Hollywood and Alave is really slight for the receiver position, but what do you say?
I'm not competing until 2025 anyways. I'm probably just taking all the quarterbacks I can.
What if
the draft capital?
Now, what if Jaden Daniels ends up going at 102? I would imagine there's no way Marv sits stares you in the face at the 103, but
if this is me personally in a start nine, I got the 101 and 103.
Right.
Hypothetically, like you said, the NFL draft capital, it's not really hypothetical anymore. It feels like a fucking lock for Daniels at
Caleb is 100% going one, and Jaden Daniels is feeling like 90% plus going two.
This is just me personally. I take Jaden Daniels at the 101. The 102 person now shits their pants and doesn't know what the fuck to do.
They're taking Caleb.
So they might. They might also take Marvin Harrison and fuck the whole thing up, and now I walk away with both of them. So
interesting. I would say that you could probably still – the same thing is still probably there. I think, Mike, if you wanted to get both quarterbacks, you probably got a better chance taking Caleb at one and letting Jaden go to you at two, right? It probably depends on where Marv goes. Mike, if Marv goes to Arizona, forget it. You're going to get Jaden Daniels at 103.
You'll find out Friday on 4D. I'm bullish enough on Jaden Daniels just to take him at 101 and let the chips fall because that is somebody I don't want to miss out.
Koopa makes a point here, and I don't think he's necessarily wrong. You could just go ahead and take both quarterbacks. I would say this: I'm definitely somebody that has leaned into the quarterback horde. And David, I think the final thing for me, tiebreaker wise, is if you think that you can get a haul back. If this is a market where quarterbacks can trade for hauls, and start nines typically are that, I have no problem going ahead and doing that. Frankly, the only thing I will say is
anybody sniffing around, right?
Oh, of course. Of course. I just think, though, Mike, the only thing about that is like there, if you miss on all the, I mean, obviously there's great quarterbacks in this class too, so I'm not trying to discount them, but I don't know that we see receiver prospects of this outrageous caliber in the next few years, but you could trade for them through the quarterback market. So I could get behind it either way. 101, I'm definitely taking my pick of quarterback no matter what. Whoever your preference is that it's 100% what I'm doing at 101. No question about it.
I kind of get it. I'm looking forward to the next class, though. 2025, there's not a – it's very tough for me to, like, pinpoint a quarterback I really like.
1,000%.
Like, I mean, when fucking Carson Beck is leading the way in 2025 already, shout out to Felix. Like, I'm with you. Like, I can see it. It's just – it doesn't feel good, okay? There's not a lot that pops off the page on Carson Beck analytically or on film where I go like, fuck yeah, I can't wait to draft this guy, right? Like, I don't have those feels. But when I look at the wide receivers for 2025, already I got two guys at the top where I'm like,
I like Burden quite a bit, man. Dudes.
I really like Evan Stewart as well.
Texas
A&M transfer to Oregon.
Yep, so, I do too.
There's two pretty good ones already coming, and we'll Abuka is going to be in that class, and Abuka would be in conversation. I'm fully on board with this as wide receiver 4 or 5 in this class if he would have come out.
Yeah, no, Abuka, I think right now checks easily wide receiver 3 in that class next year at the minimum right now.
And there's a shit ton of running backs in 2025, definitely. But quarterbacks, yeah. So definitely, if I'm going to take quarterbacks, like if I'm looking in the future for my dynasty, I want to take my fucking quarterbacks now, and then I'll figure out the other stuff later because it doesn't seem as safe.
Yeah, I also think, Mike, it's crazy. Just think about this.
Good catch, Trip Crown too. Tet McMillan out of Arizona, also pretty fucking good
for sure. Now, one thing I'll say though, Mike, if you think about the quarterback classes, like, I mean, I don't know how soon, like, we didn't all of a sudden think A. Rich was just going to be there like this high. We didn't think so. A lot of times these quarterbacks end up coming. Jaden Daniels wasn't supposed to be going this high. You know, sometimes you get the late bloomers, which, not even that they have to be good, that I think this will just influx the market because we do chase quarterback and super flex later. But I get you for sure. There's not the quarterback prospects that I can point to right now and say, oh yeah, 25 has QBs that you want. All right, is Tua 107 and 207 too much to trade for Caleb Williams? Sitting in my inbox, so it feels like an overpay. Sorry if this isn't allowed on the AMA. Well, it's definitely not for Mike, because, Caleb, there's no way that Mike would do this.
This is exactly what's allowed on AMA. This is exactly what AMA is for.
Well, I know Tua slander won't be tolerated by Mike. That's what I think he's talking about.
Nah, it's not the Tua slander. Like, what is it? It's probably fair. If this was Tua 109, 110 in the 2.7, yeah. Fucking go
of course,
ahead.
But it's 107, Mike. Which, Mike, the reason I say that
it's
is
107.
You want to talk about quarterbacks? Like, 107 is one of these picks I don't want to get rid of because I feel like there's a real good chance I'm going to get either one of the great receivers in this class, prospect wise, or a top 10 quarterback pick. Like, that's too much.
Right.
What? So then, let me ask you.
This feels too much to me.
Let's remove the 24 class for a second. Let's just talk regular veterans, okay? What would you add to Tua to go get Caleb in veteran player?
In a veteran player?
Like, where would you be willing – like, where do you kind of draw the line? Or where would you actually be willing to attach to Tua?
Like a Tua and a DJ Moore type.
Ooh, for interesting. Caleb. And trading away potential stack. But I get that. Okay, so then – Mike, I mean, that's the reality of that is, the reason I say that, DJ Moore in startups is going very similar to where the 107 is. So I think sometimes it's just the class hype that we're also thinking of too. But I have a hard time sending Tua and another top 10 quarterback pick and 207 to secure Caleb. And I like Caleb. I really do. But it just feels like an awful lot, man.
Yeah, Dr. B had a good one, too, about if McCarthy goes at 4, like, where are we taking him? So
I think that also depends on – doesn't it a little bit for you to depend on where, who trades up to 4 as well? Like how high you'd be willing to take them?
Most of the teams that are trading up would be in the market to trade up that makes sense to trade up. Like, I'm pretty on board. So I think just wide brushing it, going like, if he's taken at 4 in the scenario, it's a team trading up. It's not fucking Arizona, obviously.
Of course, right.
But most of them that would be trading up to take them, they're in good positions to support J.J. McCarthy, right? Vikings are the obvious one. Broncos, if that's fucking Sean Payton's choice, like with where the roster is, like this was his thing. Like, I'm going to eat all this dead money just to get rid of Russell Wilson, and then my big move is to get J.J. McCarthy. I mean, I give Sean Payton shit because I think he might be a little bit overrated, but I mean, he's still an NFL head coach with the Super Bowl on his resume. He's put together some pretty good fucking offenses, so I'm going to trust your decision making on this point. The Raiders, Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers. I mean, come on. Like, it's sure. a good enough spot.
So. Now, the Broncos for me, Mike, is I would say more. I'm not disagreeing with your point. Sean Payton's definitely attaching himself now to J.J. McCarthy. He makes that pick in the trade-up. There's no debate there.
Right.
I will say there, like, maybe did he have Breeze? I mean, Breeze is fucking kind of him. You know, maybe he's not actually as great of a coach. And it might not even be his fault. I just think the weapons around him are not necessarily, they don't make me feel the rosiest about McCarthy. To your point, I think the Raiders would be next. But the Vikings, Mike, if it's the Vikings that trades up to four for JJ, holy Santa Claus shit, dude. The reason I say it is I think it's a different level of shit. Like, I'm going to have to probably be like, all right, Mike, you won, okay? I'm taking McCarthy in the top five, right? Like, there's a difference in the Vikings versus the Broncos for me is the reason I say it.
This is also assuming that JJ's going at four versus somebody trading up to three to take him over Drake May, right?
Interesting, sure.
Which, you listen to Thor and D-Bro, like, that's, I mean, they're putting money down. Like, real, their own fucking dollars, boys and girls. Like, that's how much they believe in it, which, listen, I'm ready for Thursday night. That's all I fucking know, like.
Of come course. On,
fast
we're,
forward
we're,
a week, man.
We are just over a week. Anyway, I can't do this, frankly. I really can't.
As this trade is to this question, no, it feels no. a little bit too much.
Heck no.
Yeah.
Mike, 110?
It has nothing to do with the
110?
2-7. I don't.
Yeah, the 2-7's not it.
Two and the 110 and the 2-7, go ahead.
Absolutely.
Fucking send it.
109?
Fuck, you're right in that range of.
Can't do it. Brian Thomas?
And the Buffalo thing is still sitting there lurking. Like,
sure. What if Buffalo trades into the elite ones? Jeez, almighty.
You like eight fucking players right now as this class sits. Like, right. That we feel solid about where it's like, listen, unless something really stupid happens with landing draft capital, landing spots, like, these guys all feel really good, even if they went to a shitty spot. Mm-hmm. You still like them.
Yeah.
You just hope the draft capital matches up, which it really feels like it's going to. And I'm including Brock Bowers just because of market hype and how much people love, you know, talking about the next generational tight end, like that kind of thing. Heaven fucking forbid that Buffalo takes one of these wide receivers. Now that 109 just becomes holy shit, man. Now you're looking at a Brian Thomas Jr. If he were hypothetically were to go to the Jags, and then like an Adonai Mitchell is the guy that Buffalo takes at the later part and they stand pat.
Sure.
That guy all of a sudden becomes really fucking interesting. And lo and behold, if the Buffalo Bills were to trade up to go specifically get a guy, and specifically if it was Brian Thomas Jr. in the teens, let's say, Jesus Christ, Adam. I could not fucking send that away. So, you know, 109, I'm probably still like, nah, I'm good, man. 110, though, you. Later, go for it. Sure, why not? Fuck it.
Well, I had a feeling you'd rant there, and you didn't disappoint. But the best part about that is that I'm just trying to signify the difference where I'm at with this trade offer versus the 110. There's levels, right? Like that's how far it is. Yeah,
you're in the super cold zone at 7.
Yeah, 109. We're talking. We're thinking. 110. I'm like, all right, you can have it. But I'm gonna guess, Mike. To be fair, I don't think 110 gets it done.
Probably doesn't. For some people, yeah.
Well, because Mike, nobody likes Tua. Nobody looks at Tua like you do, and nobody probably looks at Tua like I do. All right, y'all got to take a look at the kid from Arizona. Detroit McMillan's awesome. I like him.
Got it. Tet's the dude. He's good, too.
He's good. Very good. All right, here we go. Let's take a look at this here. This is Mike, I try to tell you on 4D. I don't want to give it all away, but Ethan says, I don't get the Daniels hype. He's just a Fields 2.0, and even if he's got a high ceiling, who knows if he keeps his job. I don't get the hate on May. He's closer to Caleb. Mike, we talked about this. I'm not going to spoil the whole show, but I just wanted to show you that, like, I think the recency bias from that 21 class is going to linger. You know, this is interesting.
Not to spoil the whole show, but I also told you that it doesn't really matter because we play Dynasty in multi-year windows, and for 3 fucking years, Justin Fields has been a good Dynasty asset. So,
well, I hear you, but I'm just saying the tradability for people right now versus where Fields probably was at points tradability-wise, like there may be people that are like, nah, I'm not buying into it. Even if he has good like fantasy success, you may have a harder time trading him. But to your point, production could end up being there.
I hit him with the Will Ferrell from Old School. Good. More for you and me.
Good.
Don't fucking buy into it.
Idiot.
Good.
Gross, Mike.
Push that narrative.
Gross, Mike. Scroll up for my question, and I feel like it's a good point on Jaden. All right. Well, Trip Crown, where is this? He's
this
yelling.
Is like, you want to talk about hot or cold? Yeah.
Where
he
is
definitely
it?
Didn't tuck his shirt in.
Hell no, he didn't tuck his shirt in. Where are we?
I don't know where he's at.
if you could find the Trip Crown question, let me know. If JJ goes at 4, was the highest you're picking him in rookie drafts, and why not over the top 3 receivers if we preach QBs on the channel? Well, I mean, that question I think has to be – the second question has to be for me, but Mike.
Because you're talking to 2 different people on this, and right. Adam and I have disagreed about this, but he brings up good points, and I felt I've laid out my case pretty successfully, so –
Yeah, no, we can redo it or just, you know, walk through it again. Dr. B's, I mean, here, listen, he's also putting emojis out there. This is, you know, he's doing it the right way. We got to at least answer the question for the guy. Mike, I'll let you go
hypothetically.
Ahead. Yeah.
So he says JJ goes at 4. So I'm going to assume the first 4 picks in the NFL draft are quarterbacks, right?
I mean, it would seem that way, right?
Yeah. So let's go Caleb 1, Daniels 2, Drake May 3 to New England.
McCarthy 4.
4. Let's go ahead and put Minnesota. Right? Minnesota on the trade.
This would be a different conversation for me for sure.
Minnesota on the trade up.
Mm-hmm.
Now where are you taking them in NFL in rookie drafts?
I still think the receiver draft capital and landing spot does matter for the conversation. I do. I know
so,
it doesn't for you. I just want to have the
conversation. No. So I'll give you some spots. Right. Chargers take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay.
At 5.
Okay.
Giants
take
Malik Nabers.
Okay.
And at 11, which the Cardinals had traded down, they fall into Roma Dunze.
Ooh, the Cardinals get Roma at 11?
Cardinals get Roma at 11. I'm making this juicy as fuck for you.
I
but you got
that.
The quarterbacks going 1-4. JJ goes 4 to Minnesota.
Can I tell you what that means, Mike? 107 for Tua is an absolute disaster.
Yeah, go find
because you got 4. You got 4 quarterbacks, top 4 with good landing spot outside of Drake. Like I'll tell you, Drake May could be the one that falls to like 107. Frankly, for me,
good because of the New England spot. For
yeah.
sure.
I think Mike. I'll tell you where. I'll just give you my draft based on those landing spots with what I know today. Obviously, this could change a little bit in time, but for me,
you got all 7.
Caleb,
picks, all right.
Caleb is 1. Yeah, I got the whole 7. Now I'm gonna not do this thing to mess with ADP. I'm gonna give you my real 7. Okay. 101,
real seven.
Caleb. 102. I'll tell you one thing, Mike. I'm going to end up taking Marv because the landing spot is good enough and it's top 5 draft capital. But I'm really going to – that's only because I know at 103 I can still get Jaden. That conversation at 102 would be super, super tough for me, honestly. Super tough for me. Because Jaden Daniels going 102 to the Commanders. The RG3 upside story is just if he doesn't get hurt, ugh. But I'm going to take Jaden Daniels in at 3. I'm going to take 104 is going to be Mike. Hard for me to say this, but I'll be honest. JJ is in my 104 now. That's where I'm going to put him to kind of answer this question. Because it's, Mike, it's the draft capital, and it's the best landing spot out there. It really is. And that also means they freed up enough money to give Justin Jefferson the fucking bag. Like, you give him Justin Jefferson, you give him Addison. It'll take a year to get Hock back. Then I would take now, I'd probably take Rome, Mike. And then I would take Nabers.
Okay.
And then I would take May.
And Drake May at your 107.
Yep.
I like it.
Yep.
Dr. B to give you the alternate perspective in this hypothetical.
Give you Mike's. Yep.
Jaden Daniels 1, Caleb 2, JJ McCarthy 3, Drake May 4, Mar 5, Adunze 6, Malik Nabers would be 7.
Let me ask you this then, because this conversation for JJ is very different with number 4 overall in Minnesota, like attaching their everything to him. Drake May is the one I asked you, like, give me the Drake May case. Not saying you can't have it there. Just give me the Drake May case at ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. going to top five to a team that desperately needs like huge targets amount.
Drake May pre-NFL draft, Adam, is, listen, for NFL purposes, I think he's just as talented, if not more talented than Caleb Williams, as far as an NFL prospect goes. Has all the tools, mobile, big, huge arm, can make the tight window throws, has some stuff he needs to clean up. So does every quarterback coming out, period. Like they all do. I get it. The New England spot does scare you, right? But it's a landing spot tiebreaker between JJ and Drake May for me. I think Drake May is the better prospect, but the landing spot is much better in Minnesota than New England. So I'd acknowledge that. But here's the thing with Drake May and why I still take him at four over the wide receivers. He's a quarterback who got top three NFL draft capital, even though the New England thing scares people off in market and what their weapons are. There's still a possibility they add something in the second round. There's still a possibility they add something through trade, whether it's a T. Higgins or Brandon Ayuk, something like that. Maybe the rookie year is just a one and done, like with what they currently have on. But then what comes in 25? Do they add a weapon? Do they add two weapons? Do they add three weapons? Do they finally surround him with the tools? I'm willing to take the gamble on him because I think he's that fucking talented and he's a quarterback in super flex leagues with premium draft capital. Like, he is good. This is not anywhere close to the Zach Wilson situation of a few years ago. Like, not even in the same ballpark. So that would be my case for Drake May. But why he's four versus McCarthy at three for me. I'm still going to lean the quarterback. If these quarterbacks get top five NFL draft capital, I don't really care what happens with the wide receivers or where they go. These quarterbacks are going one through four.
Okay. I mean,
off my board.
I see. I mean, I just, man, the thing about May there for me, Mike, is it feels like for me to see a payoff in the value of him, he's gonna have to show like meaningful quarterback scoring, not for the whole season, but at least in flashes, right? He's gonna have to have games of, hey, okay, Drake May could be that guy. Mike, with the weapons, even if, let's say they draft someone around two. Like, let's say they got DeMario Douglas. We'll see what happens with Kendrick Bourne coming off the ACL.
I don't expect a lot, right?
Let's say they draft a guy in round two, though. They got Hunter Henry. Like, I mean, it's a landing spot that I think it's going to be.
Give him Troy Franklin in round two.
Okay, there you go. And that wouldn't be bad. I feel like he's going to have to overcome a lot in that situation to pay off where – Mike, I just pulled this up a second ago. This is crazy to me. This is literally news to me right now. In 152 drafts with the rookies in it, Marv is going at the 112 ahead of Amon-Ra, ahead of, we probably agree with this one maybe, Herbert. Oof. But anyway, I'm just telling you, he's a first-round startup pick without draft capital. You tell me he's the first guy and he goes to the Chargers where he's probably locked into 130, if not more, targets. I can't do it personally. That's the reason I say that. Now, if Drake May ends up going out there and being him, I mean, we see quarterback value skyrocket, but I feel like there's a lot more to fall in a situation like that. But I get it. I just personally couldn't do it.
I mean, we just elevated CJ Stroud to QB1, 101 overall in startup territory. And yeah,
he's 103 right now, for the record.
Even before the Stephon Diggs trade, like you and I saw it in some of these handful of startups we're doing, like he's going at the 101, the 102, the 103. And we're like, what the fuck's going on here? Mm-hmm. After the Stephon Diggs trade, those got a lot more prevalent, right? And he did it off the back of 18 fantasy points per game. What if Drake May's at 17, Adam?
Well, that's what I was actually going to get to, Mike, is that now more than ever, I think you have to show people in the community that you feel like an elite quarterback in the NFL. Because here's the other thing. Unless we project all of a sudden that to be a one-year blunder with the zone coverages, the quarterback scoring isn't as dramatic as it once was, you know, even 2 years ago with guys that are Dak Prescott was one of the leading quarterbacks last year at 20.7 points per game, right? Like – That's the other thing for me. It's just I think it's going to be a blip on the map. I think it will correct itself over time. But I think right now, we could see quarterback scoring be down again relative to what we've seen in the last few years. That's why for me, I also can't say, Mike, that we got Bryce Young and CJ Stroud last year. I can't say that there's going to be four quarterbacks that none of them tread water. You know, none of them lose value.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I can understand. But I'm just saying, if I'm painting in broad strokes here, like, just give me all four of them and I'll be fine.
History
has shown me that at the worst case scenario, I'm getting at least 2 years out of these dudes. Like, I'm getting 2 years of pretty safe dynasty value. And even in the case of where they were talking about Justin Fields and Jaden Daniels, like, that's a dude you get 3 years out of. 3 years of QB1 type dynasty value. Even if it's not the rosiest of rosy. We just don't turn and burn these guys like we used to. Like, even Bryce Young, terrible year. Still, what, sixth round ADP?
He is right now. Let's see, where is he currently going? Actually, just in with the rookies included, Mike, 701. Six, seven turn.
That's worst case scenario, right?
Well, it is. Now, Bryce Young, I think, is a good case, Mike, where it's like, okay, what Bryce Young does in year two, I think, will show us something. Now, I don't know. I can't tell you for sure if it's going to be good or bad. I think he's likely to improve. So, if anything, I think he probably would go up if I was betting on it. But
you would hope. Jesus Christ, man. I've acquired so much Bryce Young if it's worse than last year.
But that's what I'm saying, Mike. On the risk side, it's if he does the same thing or, like, doesn't really improve much. Let's say he has a slightly better statistical year, but it looks similar. That's an asset that's going down. And people are basically like, nah, I don't want any they don't want to touch it. It's kind of, I think that's just what I've learned with bucking the trend is I don't want to do it too much because when I'm wrong, I'm the only one that believed anyway. And now I'm holding the fucking bag hard. I don't know. I can't do it because I know I have a very strong feeling, Mike, Marv, unless he face plants, he ain't going any later than like Puka range probably. Frankly,
I'll say this. You put meters over our heads, like just kind of how we both play Dynasty. We play it very similarly.
100%.
But I could definitely tell if there was like one of those radioactive meters. I forget what the fuck they're called, right? But if there was one of those and it was going, like yours is probably, you take risks, but they're more calculated risk. Like you tend to lean on more of the safe market side. Mm. So you're probably in like the light yellow at best.
Well, right? And Mike, like, can I tell you how I got there? Being me and you were in lockstep, and when I got burnt, I know how and why. And that it's like for me it's kind of like the touching the stove thing. Like, man, my fingers on that stove, I don't really want to do too much of that anymore, man. I don't even know if you can see my fingerprints anymore.
Right. And the difference between me,
you're like, I'm going to put it back on there. I'm good. I'm ready.
No, I wouldn't say I'm putting it on the same one, right?
I'm going to test this burner. I'm trying this burner. There you go. Now, that bitch was hot, but I think this one's off. I really think this one's off. I like that.
That is more of a better.
You see the color? That one's off. I'm pretty sure.
You're more like, fuck it, I got to be careful because I know what happened the last time.
I'm going to put my hand over it and like try to see if I can get some. I want to feel the heat, and then I'll touch it. Yeah, I'm with you.
Let me try a different one.
Mike's like, I'm throw caution to the fucking wind. Fuck you guys. I'm going all out.
Shooting for upside, man. I want championships.
I get it. I understand it. All right. Let's go to good evening. Good evening, guys. Just sold Caleb 111 for Just Allen during a rookie draft. Oh, Caleb and the 111 for Josh Allen? That's silly.
W.
Mike, what did we just talk about with Tua to Caleb Williams? You give me one of them later first, we're okay. Now I just get to walk into 101? I get to go from 111 in the rookie class in 101 to the de facto number one.
Yeah, big W.
Wow. Corey, good for you, buddy. That Stephon Diggs news must have just really made someone freak the fuck out. Wow.
Those people have no idea where quarterback fantasy points per game come from.
Mr. B says, I want to leverage these quarterback needy teams with my early picks this year. Let them know how bad the quarterback class is projecting next year when I'm negotiating.
I like your fucking style, Mr. B.
I mean, I'll say that's – I feel like it's harder to quarterback hoard and get the values that we once got probably 2 years ago, especially, Mike. But at the same time, if you have quarterback needy teams and they have a little bit of rookie fever, like, this is a window where you still can get a little bit of quarterback hoard type mentality things to happen. If I see someone has the 106, they might get a quarterback there. But if they want to come up to 101, 102, I'm happy to oblige, and I think I can ask for a pretty penny coming back, and that's one of the things I like to do typically. Mike, on the flip side, I'll tell you, you saw it on the trade show. The one time I traded up from the 106 to the 102 was a team I needed a quarterback for, and there you go. That's a good example.
Yeah. Man, I'm really glad, like, a couple months ago I started strategically moving, like, the 110, 111, 112, like, adding whatever the hell I really needed to get within that top six.
Yeah, because...
top seven at worst.
Like, the top six, seven now gives you two guys missing landing spots and draft capital to still hit, right?
I would say I'm not going to say in every league, because we see wild shit on the trade show all the time, right? We get wild questions in here and the Discord. Sure. Like, there's other leagues, okay? But I'm just saying, in general, for the universe, after Thursday night fucking happens, Adam, trying to trade into the top seven or six, let alone the top five, like, good fucking luck. Good fucking luck. Like, I think the community is all a little bit, like, gun-shy, because we've had a couple of subpar down... we've had a very, very shitty fucking class.
Say it with your chest.
Then we have... we had another, oh my god, like, this wasn't great dynasty class. And then we had, like, a, okay, who cares? Like, this is fine, I guess. This is normal now. And now, like, we are literally walking into the best dynasty class, period, that I have ever fucking seen. And once the confirmation comes on Thursday night, people are going to be like, oh, I remember the good days of what 2020 and 2021 were like. Fuck you. You can't have this pick. So it's really good if you could still capitalize on it. Yes, in certain leagues, you'll still be able to do it. But I would say for the majority of ours, Adam, these ones that we have post NFL drafts, rookie drafts. If you hadn't got it by the time fucking draft night rolls around next Thursday and that first pick is made, like,
oh, you fuck mean off. You don't have a pick to go get the quarterbacks? I gotcha.
You're done. you're fucking done. It's just the way the NFL's set up, right? Like, you got teams eating $50 million just to get rid of fucking guys they don't like. We've gone multiple years without really backfilling the quarterback class. Like, we had a couple last year. Right? You had C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson.
That's a Bryce pretty young. You just give me C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, and I already, like, right. Okay, we will take that in Dynasty. Granted, A. Rich, like, is still a lot of projection, but what we saw in the small window was really nice.
Think about, though, like, what happened in 2022. You got a Kenny Pickett and Kenny Pickett only.
You know what's funny, though, Mike? I think this is pretty interesting, because – Mike, 2021 was like, I remember in 2021, just think about this for a second. 2021 was so loaded, and we're like, look at all these quarterbacks. The Jamar Chase checked in at the 106 via Sleeper's ADP in Superflex.
Yes. Yes.
Do you know how crazy that is? But then, Mike, the weird part is hindsight 2020, I think, is affecting how we view things. Not even necessarily correctly, but because, Mike, 2021 was supposed to be ridiculous. Kyle Pitts ended up disappointing for 2 years after in a great season. Only quarterback left is Trevor Lawrence, who right now for some people just feels like kind of pukey, mid, whatever. And 2022, which was supposed to be dog shit, gave you, I mean, people are back in on Drake London to the fullest. Breece Hall is a top three running back. It's crazy, but as bad as 22 was, when you look at it next to 2021, outside of Jamar Chase, 2022 is like, okay, if this is a dog shit class, I don't mind this class, right?
I love we're doing all these high level discussions too, and I was just keeping an eye on, like, what's going on in the peripherals. And shit IDP 202, like, Cooper's trying to trade me for Keyshawn Nixon, the cornerback / returner for Green Bay.
I love that. I love that.
like something that would never get asked on AMA. Like, should I make this deal? By the way, Coop, that's going to be an instant decline. Go fuck yourself.
Sorry, Coop. That's going to be a hard go fuck yourself, okay?
That's a league I heavily favored when I set that up for return yards. And what does Keyshawn Nixon do? Return kicks. So
I love grinding the edge. I love your podcast, but that's going to be a no from me, dog.
Hard pass.
The role Mike feels about as perfect as South Harmon could have right here. Now, I'm kind of becoming, you know, a little bit of a prima donna. I'm a bidet guy now, but give me the role.
You got, you know, a bidet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah. Let's go, buddy. Bidet brothers for life.
Oh, yeah. Listen, when you get, by the time you get here, I'll probably have them in all of them, frankly, at this point.
I just need one.
Well, Mike, I definitely the one right up here. You know, just content.
Does your wife use it? Or is she like, nah?
I'll have to ask her. I'm guessing nah. Just,
yeah, she probably nah.
Maybe I'll get her to buy into it eventually. But anyway, the role. I traded Burrow for Tua in the 26th first in a league that I had no first in 25 or 26. Thoughts felt like I had to do a trade that gave me some future.
Probably would have rather had Burrow.
I definitely would rather. Well, I mean, unless this is like start 14 best ball, start 13 best ball or something crazy. Yeah, I want Burrow, man. No way.
Yeah, I probably want Burrow in 95% of formats.
The future for me doesn't mean it enough if I know that both the future and current aren't that good.
That's also coming from a guy who's a big Tua fan, you know.
Mike on a recent AMA said he thinks Tua could be quarterback one, and he had a nice little
There's
bit of sauce.
There's a possibility.
That's what I said. He said could be. I said could.
And then we did the 4D pod last week, and I pulled up that spreadsheet, and that fucking went out the window. My apologies.
Wow. Bindles is like out here. Kids. Let me just say, Bindles, we appreciate you, man. This is a I'll tell you what.
Thanks, Bindles.
This is basically a super chat. So I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Put the fucking Bindles up there.
Can I say the best part, though, Mike, is that we get Dr. B getting one. Like, he's given the Koopa. He's given all the, you know, the South Harmon
Stephen
guys.
White.
Stephen
Cheeky
White.
Hobson.
Cheeky Hobson.
Go. Hey, just so you guys know who just
you
got
get
the
a hang
memberships,
with that,
too.
By the way.
Yep. Like, who got the Ooh. Memberships? There's a nice little feature in chat how you can add, like, all the custom emojis. Other people don't have access to.
I love that. By the way, Dr. Mike, he says it's star 13. Does that change anything for you here?
Not really.
It changes a little for me, but I still want Burrow. Yeah. It does make it a lot closer.
If you told me it was a start 9, it's pretty fucking egregious. If
there's no chance I'm doing it start 9. Start 13, I'm palatable. One of the things I don't like doing there is I feel like unless you're going to start leaning into pick hoarding, I just kind of stayed more in the middle where Burrow at least gave me an edge. You know what I mean?
What was your team like? Like, are you in a rebuild, the role? Like, are you...
Yeah, what did he say, actually?
Like, are you kind of stuck with, like, Burrow as your only real asset, or... I guess that's probably the biggest question, because I've been in those before where, like, you only have, like, two assets worth a fuck on your entire team, and you're like, I need to rebuild, and I have no draft capital.
I'm sorry, Trip Crown. Trip Crown's all mad because I didn't tell everyone that he got a membership. I missed that. I apologize, and congrats to you, buddy.
That. Now he gets to put all them emojis in.
And Bindles became a member himself. That's six memberships right there, Mike.
Thanks. Bindles.
Welcome to South Harmon, man. Welcome to South Harmon. Chat, you guys trading. Serg is asking chat, but you're going to get our answer, too. Fuck that. We're answering, too. This is AMA.
Yeah, Serg.
You guys trading one of the 101, 102, 103 in a one quarterback? No.
Am I trading one of the 101, 102,
no.
103?
I want all of them.
Fuck no.
I want all of these. I want all these receivers, damn it.
The fucking Thanos. Infinity Stones.
You know what? I'll trade them. But you better be coming correct. I want Amon-Ra. I want. You want to come get him?
Oh, I think. I mean,
or you know, you got to give me something serious back though.
Sometimes I feel bad because I feel like it's getting hot takey, right? And like I don't really want to be that, but I also want to be ahead of the curve. Right.
The role says he's a contender, by the way. I would not have done that, man. No.
No, not as a contender.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I got Marv, Rome, and Malik Nabers ranked ahead of every wide receiver that's not named Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase, or Amon-Ra St. Brown.
That's why I said, Mike, you got to come with Amon-Ra. And I know people ain't doing that. So, fuck.
I mean, that's ahead of A.J. Brown, Tyreek, Puka, etc. Now I could make some exceptions.
There could be some. I will say in one quarterback, there'd be a, you come with an elite running back for one of them, probably the 103. I might have a discussion because in one quarterback, I care a little more about running backs.
103 for Christian McCaffrey.
Not that one.
Not that one.
Not the old one.
Okay.
Bijan, even yeah.
If you were a super
Gibbs,
contender,
yes.
Like
Brees,
if you're
yes.
If you're a super contender, if that was your last Infinity Stone, would you do it for CMC? 103, the last choice at the
can I tell
the
you,
dish.
If you make that trade, you better believe, and not even just believe, you better feel like that gives you the keys to the title. Because if you don't win the title, that's a terrible trade in my personal estimation. You got to win the title.
Long,
you make that trade
long term,
right?
Ooh, you got a real short fucking list of running backs. You do it. That's three dudes.
That's it, Mike. I'm telling you right now, for 101, 102, and 103, in one quarterback, you're giving me Amon-Ra or North at receiver, and you're giving me Brees, Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan, or I'm just drafting them. Fuck you.
I thought I was hot diggy when I put my my wide receiver list out there, and Adam's like, hold my Red Bull.
I got more.
Fucking.
It's the summer, even baby. We got the summer edition.
Even in one fucking QB, I give you three running backs that, yes, the other ones, fuck off.
Go fuck yourself, San Woo. Diego.
Woo! No, you're in a great spot, though, Cirque. If you're a fucking contender and you got all three of those picks, oh.
Even if you're not a contender, there's not a better situation. Like, you couldn't have a better situation in Dynasty in one quarterback, right? It's all about receivers right now, and you're going to get three of the top 10.
That is the only way to get me to join a
one QB,
one quarterback.
Mike gets an orphan that's bad and has 101, 102, and 103.
Not bad. Not bad. It's got to be a contender already.
Oh. Mike, imagine that's literally saying someone is getting rid of a team that's free money. I mean, what do we do? That would be insane.
That's a way of saying I'll never be in one QB leagues.
See,
unless they're an underdog.
Mike's
not, best ball.
Michael never changed.
And I draft him for fun.
Mike's touching that stove till he's fucking dead, man. That hand might be numb. He's touching that thing.
This spot.
Okay, this here. Spot. 12 teams, start 10, full PPR for a running back needy team. Badly running back needy team. That's okay, though. Would you trade the 301 and the 26th third? I could care less for it. Yeah, absolutely. I'll take Najee.
Oh, for Najee? Yeah, I was going to ask if this is one QB or super flex, but it doesn't fucking matter. Yes.
Do I care about if I don't care about a third in super flex, do I care about it in a one quarterback? Hell fucking no.
Absolutely no.
I mean, I think Najee actually, Mike, is one of these running backs that I'm not like going to tell you, oh, you're set with Najee, but I think he's starting to become an extreme value. He's far from his 2 years ago cost of the 201 in startups.
Mm-hmm.
He's now currently, Mike, let me just make sure I'm not messing this up here. Let's pull it up with the... stop changing it right now while I'm on AMA, whoever's doing that. The ADP.
He's
the 811. He's almost a ninth round pick, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, I do this all day. Easily. Easily, Alejandro. Smash that shit.
Even there.
Before they change their mind.
The 811. Mike, would you trade your 301 and a 26 third for the 811?
Yes.
100%. Yes. Alejandro, do it now. Do it now.
Yeah. How many thirds would it take for you to say no? Five?
More. The Kobe gif? More.
Eight?
That commercials are kind of crazy with what was that, Kanye? That was an old school one. Already got Brees. Well, all right.
Man,
you got
Kobe,
you got about, what, five? You got five chances left, and I think you're going to end up drafting all of them if I had to guess.
We got four receivers and two running backs left. There's my math. Ooh, Bindles, what? New member. He wants
an
Eric Alltake.
Eric Alltake. Mike, this is
from the guy
who's got
all the.
I was going to say, this feels like a Mike question. This feels like a very, very Mike question. I'll let you have the floor.
So D-Bro and Thor last week, they wrapped up their tight end episode. I love, by the way, like I can't stop shouting these guys out. I love them to
I was
death
gonna say,
doing
you,
their draft. They're fucking
I feel like
awesome.
I feel like if Mike and I were in a relationship, I feel like this is like that gif where he's holding my hand but looking at the
this is the caveat to say, but there are times I disagree. Okay. There are times
No, Mike disagree.
They absolutely love Eric All to death and probably have him at like 2 or 3. I think if you were to do a consensus rank of those guys, that's where he's going to fall. I think he's good and he has promise. There's a couple problems with it. One, torn ACL. Like, that's not good. That's not good. I love TJ Hockenson, too. He was fantastic last year. But torn ACL, mid part of the season, already coming in as a rookie, now going to be behind the eight ball. You're not really expecting anything from him until 2025 at a position in fantasy football, which generally doesn't matter. So I'm just giving a holistic view. Eric All kind of feels like that guy. If you can get him in the fourth, fifth round, UDFA in your rookie draft, by all fucking means, man. Take all your shots on him. If somebody, you know, says, like, I'll let you have Eric All for the fucking 505, sure, fuck it. Take my 505. Take my 25th. Fifth. Like, I don't give a shit. Go ahead and go get you some Eric All. I have a little bit more cautious approach to it. The other thing is, too, early in the season at Iowa, so this is my personal being an Iowa football fan and being a diehard, which Thor is also an Iowa fan, which also just makes me love him even more. I actually went to grad school at Iowa. Fucking nuts. The takeaways that Thor kind of had, I didn't see personally. So early in the season, Eric All, for those of you who don't know, so I'm just giving the overview, used to play at Michigan, had some back problems. There was a disagreement. He missed part or most of a season with a pretty serious back injury. There was a disagreement amongst him and the coaching staff on how they were going to handle it, whether surgery or stuff was involved.
Right. He only played 3 games, I think, that year, right?
Yeah, didn't like it. There was a disagreement. Ended up transferring to Iowa with his quarterback from Michigan, Cade McNamara. So going into this season, when I looked at the Iowa roster, I knew Luke Lachey was a pretty fucking good tight end, but I was still kind of like, Eric All is also very good.
But you knew Luke Lachey might be a problem for production, right?
I knew he would be a problem for production, but when you head into it, I go, oh, man, his fucking locker room buddy, like his dude from Michigan, like his quarterback transferred with him, the one who fed him at Michigan. I assumed, at least at the beginning of the year, that Eric All was going to be the dog who ate out of the Iowa tight end room, because we don't have fucking outside wide receivers, so everything goes through the tight ends, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but I assumed it was going to be Eric All. Cade McNamara is just going to trot back to pass. Where's my fucking buddy Eric All? Boom, hit him up. And that was absolutely not the case. Eric All was productive in the early games that Luke Lachey played in.
Right.
But Luke Lachey fucking dominated the targets and the yards early at Iowa in the season, which I did not expect at all. And nice pun there with Eric All.
Man's got bars.
So once Luke Lachey went down, then Eric All really started to eat. Like, he really started to eat when there was no competition whatsoever.
But, I mean, it's also, he had 299 yards.
And then he got hurt. He tore his ACL.
I'm allergic to bullshit. Sorry about that. Apologize.
Yeah, this is fine. Go look at Sam Laporta's numbers from last year, too, and see if you're actually impressed on a total count.
Well, I mean, Mike, my only point was going to be
that. Iowa offense.
To your point, if you tell me that Cade McNamara throws for 500 – and Eric All has 300.
Pretty good.
I mean, you weren't wrong.
Luke Lachey only played 2 games and a quarter, though.
Right.
Like, and then he suffered the dreaded Tony Pollard, you know, where somebody fucking drags him down with that hip drop tackle and snaps his fucking ankle in half. But
Eric All's a guy I would like to have if I have taxi spots, Mike.
Yes. Just between the two of them, Luke Lachey is the much better prospect. Luke Lachey dominated even with Eric All there. Eric All did do a good job, so I do kind of like him. The ACL is concerning. I would say as far as tight ends go in this class, I have a hard time putting them above tight end 7. Like, if you wanted to put them above Sanat or Cade Stover, like, that's probably fine. Theo Johnson, if that's your dude. But I can't do, like, he's at best for me, like, Dallin Holker. Jatavion Sanders, like two.
I'll take him ahead of Holker. I'll take him ahead of Holker.
Okay, that's fair. The ACL, like, is the tiebreaker for me, because we're probably not going to see anything right away from him. It just feels like that kind of guy that this time next year you could probably send out a speculative fourth or a couple fours and go get Eric Olafetra, dude. Waivers,
you know, like,
or just pick him up off waivers. Kind of like Zach Kuntz blew up the fucking combine and was on everybody's roster. Not everybody's, but he was rostered in just about every league. And now here we are, and Zach Kuntz is getting dropped after rookie drafts are complete, where we're like, okay, fuck it.
See, didn't do anything. Roll, I feel bad for you, man, because unfortunately, we really do appreciate that super chat, but it just doesn't. It doesn't do anything for me.
No. So Eric Hall is fine, Bindles, but don't get too over your skis. I'm not taking him in the third round anywhere.
The Roll, don't be disheartened, okay? Listen, would I love to have that trade back? Abso-fucking-lutely. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat shit for you, okay? But we've all made terrible trades. That ain't going to cost you the... your entirety of your dynasty team and career. It'll be okay.
Just to clarify, Trip Crown, they didn't both tear their ACLs. Eric Hall tore his ACL. Luke Lachey snapped his ankle. So just so we're clear, he had the hip drop tackle on the sideline game 3. Just bullshit. I fucking hate that tackle with a passion. So he got the Mark Andrews.
Here we go. How do you guys – this is actually a pretty good question, and then we should probably get out of here because we already started Mike late and he's got to – get up early.
Unfortunately, I do.
I know. So I'll we'll let this
kind next of, week. Know. Next week's AMA though. I'm off on Thursday and Friday. So if we want to go late on one next Wednesday,
I'm not off on Thursday and Friday. I'm on. That's going to be a fucking banger. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Give me all of it. You know. But anyway, how do you play out a pick hoard team? Grind each pick on the clock and hope league gets thirsty. You can. I think that. I did a video on BDG about like trading on the clock. I think that frankly, if you have a whole bunch of the picks in this class and you haven't gotten feelers yet, you haven't started feeling other people out, like it's unlikely you're going to just get a whole bunch of great offers coming to you on the clock. Like that's probably not going to happen. I'm not saying it couldn't, but be prepared for it to happen. But I think what I would be liking to do, I've done some team. I had two teams, Mike, where I basically had the entire first round. You saw it. If only I had 24 instead of 23, maybe I wouldn't feel the way I felt right now about taking them all, you know? But the way to do it, though, because it's at peak right now, all these are at peak for the most part. I think what I like to do, Mike, is you still want to draft a few of the young guys. You can pick which ones you want to do or which picks you want to trade. But ultimately, you kind of want to make a blend. You want to draft maybe, let's say you have, hypothetically, Mike, 8 first-rounders of the top 12, which is... that's insane. But 6, 8, whatever, half of them. I'd probably like to make, if I had 8 picks, I'd probably like to make 3, maybe 4 at tops probably, right? And I'd like to trade those other picks into more secure assets. Because if you made 8 picks in this first round, dude, it's not even your fault. It's just numbers are stacked against you. There's just almost no way, unless this class is just goated for forever, that you're going to hit, you know, creme de la creme 8 times. It's just probably not happening. So I think the way to do it is probably start sniffing out who would be interested and intrigued by picks a little ahead of time than doing it on the clock.
You can probably get some of them done on the clock. At least for me on my pick hoard teams, the way I like to do it, the way I have done it in the past, is tiers are going to be so important, right? Adam and I, we may have a disagreement about Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams. And, you know, even if you don't believe in Jaden Daniels or whatever the case is, like if my personal tier is like I favor Jaden Daniels, but Caleb Williams is like fucking right there. Like it's close. Like if you told me I had to make a choice, it's probably going to be Jaden Daniels with that draft capital. But like I'm very good with Caleb Williams too. Like it's fine. I take the 101, and that's the one I try to trade. And I'm like, you make the fucking decision for me. And I do that up and down the draft strategically, where it's, you know, like I'm going to hold on to the 102 because I'm okay with these two guys. And then if you go to the next set and you're like, you're the wide receiver and you're like, fuck, I like all three of these guys. Well, maybe I'll trade.
It's been a long day, T-Rock. Don't you fucking start with me, all right? Sorry, Mike, go ahead.
Like if that's the case, if you got like this pick hoard where you got like, say, 1, 3, 4, and 5, and you're like, I like all of these wide receivers. I really do. All of them. Like the draft capitals, landing spots, all that shit matched up. They're all fucking razor close. I may have a preference. It's Marv and then Neighbors and then Odunze. Listen, then I'll trade the 3 and the 4 and I'm going to hold on to the 5. like pry the fucking five out of my cold dead fucking hands. But the three and the four, I'll move. I'll let you guys make the decision for me. And more times than not, at least I have found that I have a vision in my head of like how the draft's going to go. Like, oh yeah, they're definitely taking Marv and then they're going to take Neighbors. But I'm okay getting like a Dunze. When it comes to like pick five, all of a sudden I'm looking up and I'm like, how the fuck is Marvin Harrison still here? What the fuck are you guys doing? Like, you made this so much easier for me. So it's being okay.
I can't
with,
say
like,
that happened to him with Jamar Chase. Someone took Devontae Smith ahead of him. That's just insane.
Dude, but I got Jamar Chase at like the 109, bro.
Yeah.
I don't even know. It was how. Crazy. But anyways, like pick the last of that tier. Like separate them into tiers for yourself, for your own personal preference. Trade away the upper ones and then just hold on to the strategic ones that you want at the bottom of your tiers. And now you get the best of both worlds. You're able to move picks for value and kind of extend them, but you're also able to strategically pick the rookies that you really want.
I think the biggest thing though, because I don't disagree with that, by the way, if you can trade, if you have tiers set up and you can trade the earlier ones for more value, I'm 100% with that. I think the biggest thing though, Penrose, what I'm looking to do is I need to understand my format now. Okay. And what I want to understand is my roster construction. Like, I want to know what I'm looking to achieve in my team and how I want it to look. So if I'm going to line up start nine, you know, you have the option. You could take Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams potentially. Or do I want to have two elite quarterbacks? And am I better off pivoting off of one of these picks plus something to get a secure quarterback? Like, basically figuring out, you know, what type of quarterbacks you need, how many you need, how many wide receivers. In best ball, it'd be totally different. You know, you want to get as many shots at the dartboard as possible. But figuring out what your league is, using the warp tool, using all the stuff we offer here to figure out, like, what am I looking to have in my total assembly of my team? And understand that I don't want it to all be rookies. Because if that's the case, you're not ready to go. You're not competing.
Yeah, it's going to take a year, at least.
And then, Mike, you got to have to hopefully avoid, you know, dodging the QJs, whoever the landmines are. Like, I hate to tell you, I don't like to be the bearer of bad news, but there's going to be a landmine or two in this class. It's just it's the way it is. Yeah. So
somebody's going to talk you into a fucking Sky Moore in the first round.
I would like to hope and think that we don't have a Sky Moore or CH in this class, but Mike, I can tell you what I tell you today. Trey drafts Sermon, are every
Deshaun Vaughn.
Every year is kind of like it's beer goggles with these rookie picks, Mike. You know, you leave
it. Yes.
You leave the bar.
It is.
A little bit later. So year two, all of a sudden, you've seen a little clearer. But right now, when it's late hours, you know, Mike's working the night shift, all of a sudden, T-Rock says.
Midnight.
Everybody looks good, you know? The whole place looks good. I'm leaving with anybody.
Fuck yeah. We got a late start. Still got fucking damn near an hour and a half in. I'm impressed. We made it.
I'm impressed. I also... Mike, for 3 hours while I'm trying to figure out my internet, I was supposed to be doing an individual video that I now have to do now. So it'll be a fun night.
You're
even
later than I am. I'm going to polish this off right here.
Polish that. There's nothing even in that. He already inhaled the thing. Now he's chewing the ice. Good for you, buddy. Hit the like,
Newton. There's some alcohol on that ice.
Just that ice was heavily doused with some booze. But we appreciate all you guys tapping in. We'll see you back here, same time, same place, with only a day to go before the NFL draft, Mike. It's upon us.
Fuck.
We'll see you there.
I'm jacked. We're jacked to the tits.
Peace.
Peace.